two weekends to go now before one of the biggest festivals we might see in the East Cork and West Waterford area for a long time, of course. The Ironman, of course, taking place on the 23rd of June, and it won't be long before the big roadshow will be rolling into town. And I'm delighted to say John Ennis, of course, one of the main event organisers, who's been with us from the very start, is with us again this afternoon. And John, thanks very much for joining us on Drive Time Sport.
Thanks again, Sarah.
John, it's been quite a busy time at the moment, and things now are getting, I suppose it's getting very close to the big day itself.
It is, yeah. You will have noticed now at this stage you're starting to get real, all right. I definitely noticed it's getting real because the phone hasn't stopped in the last 2 days. I suppose, look, you can see there are things starting to happen on the streets now. You're starting to see the signage going up out on the streets and around the route as well. Their statutory road closure notices just to inform people that, look, the roads are going to be closed. There's times on those signs, and I am aware that there was a mistake on some of the signs that were put up on the street in Youghal, because it said on them 2 p.m. and that should have been 2 a.m. on the following morning, but it was a computer error that caused that to happen. We didn't spot it until they had been printed and put up. But there are some signs around town. We're correcting it at the moment, so by the middle of the week this week, coming to the Youghal, everything should be kosher in that sense. But
the last of the leaflet drops have been done now on the route for anybody affected by the route itself, directly living on the route. They're all done. And from here on now, we're going to be, I suppose, depending a lot on the Ironman hotline. That's going to get very busy now, because when people have seen the road closure signs out on the route, they'll obviously be curious, or they may have queries themselves. So we have a hotline set up. It is manned 24 hours a day. It's 085-111-2031. If anybody needs to make any traffic movements on or near the route on the day, or anybody feels that they're affected by those road closures, they can give a call to that number and we can clarify how they can get to where they need to get to, what's the best way to do it. That phone line has been manned in conjunction with the Gardaí and with Race Control. On the event day itself, that phone will be in Race Control, and that's the number you're invited to ring if you have some reason why you need to get on or get across the course while the course is live out there on the bike route or on the run route. That's the number for the public to ring. In an emergency, you're encouraged to still ring 999 or 112 as you would normally do on any other day of the year. We will have people from the National Ambulance Service, from the Fire Service and from the Coast Guard in Race Control on the day. So if you have a problem, ring 112-999 as you always would on any other day of the year. And from there, we'll be able to liaise with the emergency services to get help to you, or whatever you need, get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. Probably faster than you would on a normal day, to be fair. So you're in one of the safest towns in Ireland on race day.
Okay, so just that hotline number again, 085-111-2031. John, you want to mention about the animals on the route?
Yeah, we've engaged with all the farmer groups around the route. We've engaged individually, but we can't legislate for somebody somewhere on the route having a dog that likes to run out the road and chase people on bikes. We just ask people, if they're listening, just be aware of the fact that there are 2,500 athletes coming around the roads of East Cork. And if you are on the route, by now you're well aware that you're on the route, we just ask that you, if you have animals, that you keep them in until after the last bike passes and your road goes back to normal usage. And we've engaged with farmers to make sure that anybody that has animals on the opposite side of the route, that they need to bring them across for milking or whatever, that they make arrangements for that as well on the evening before the race, so that we don't have cattle crossing the route while there's live racing going on the roads. Well, by and large, we've had a huge positive uptake on that from all the farmers who we've contacted. There may be somebody that we've missed along the way, so hopefully this will reach to them and get the message to them. I think by and large we're covered, we've done it, we've ticked the box, but it's just one that's in the back of my mind that we just want to avoid it at all costs on the day.
Okay, and obviously that goes for the people around the town as well, and going for around the town as well, John, I suppose, is the parking on the street on the day itself.
Yeah, parking on the day, you're asked to move your car from the route. If you live on the route and you park your car on the route, you will know it at this stage because the yellow signs are up on your route on every second pole around town especially. We would hope that by 9 o'clock on Saturday night, the street would be completely cleared of all parked cars and vehicles. If you don't need your car on the Sunday of the race, what we would be saying to you is put the car into a driveway or into a garage or put it into a neighbour's driveway. It just needs to be off the street. If you don't have somewhere to put it off the main route, you're invited to put it out in Tesco's car park or in the old Lidl car park, who have kind of given us their facilities for the weekend.
they will be safe out there. There will be security looking after things out there. You can simply walk back down home from parking your car out there, and you can go and collect your car again Sunday night after midnight once the roads return to normal, or you can go Monday morning and collect them. They will be minded. There's security on the car park all through the weekend. If you need to get in or out of Youghal, the N25 isn't affected, and anybody living north of the route, there's no problem. You can get to the water tower, you can get to Clashadon around the boat on the bypass, you can get onto the N25 and go to wherever you wish. If you are getting out from the other side of the route, so if you feel that you're blocked in by the route, you need to get away for work or for whatever reason, we would suggest that you put your car up to the car parks at the public school rugby club area there and use the shuttle buses, the local shuttle buses. That service is free to locals, residents, parking tickets, and we are also going to give out some extra tickets to anybody who needs them who approaches us between now and the race for that reason. Again, it's to try and accommodate the locals who are accommodating us, and we're very grateful for that. And if anybody does have any special issues that they need help with, go back to the phone number, give us a call, and we'll make provision for it on the day. Again, that's 085-111-2031.
Okay. What about then the route itself, John? People that are looking for the route as a definitive finalisation of it, and the route on the bike route, say, for people that might be caught around Inch, maybe Dungourney, Middleton, Cloyne, Ballycotton, Garryvaugh, and back into Ballymacoda. Where can they find the route? And tell us about the Ironman website.
The routes are actually on the Ironman website. So it's ironman.com/Ireland or Europe or Cork. Either of those will get you to the page. And on there, so you just go down underneath the top picture where you usually have the lighthouse. The bottom of that, there's a list of links. There's one there that says athletes. And if you hover over that, immediately underneath that comes up courses and shuttle buses. And that details all the actual race routes, and it details the traffic plan and the shuttle bus services and the car parking. So if someone's coming to the venue, or if somebody's in the venue and wants to know about any of those, on there to the website, the details are in there. We're also sharing it out on the IM Cork Local Info Facebook group. It's a local info group for people living within the region that are affected by the event. There's another page there for the spectators and visitors who are coming to push out information to them that's relevant to them. But the two shouldn't meet in some cases. There's things that the athletes don't need to know about that's going on in the background. And that's all put out on the IM Cork Local Info Facebook group. So if you're living in the area, you just click in there to Facebook, apply to join that, and all the information is in there. We've links to all the routes. We've details of all the road closures and the parking in there as well, on top of the leaflets that have gone out and on top of all the stuff that's gone out on the press. There will be a spectator's guide that's free to the public, free to anybody coming along to see the event. They'll be available down in the race registration, and they'll be available around the town at key locations. They'll carry details of all the stuff that's on, all the hot spots, the movement for the athletes on race day, and where the best places are to go and see them. It's a very big event. It's a very big challenge to get all that information out there. We may not get it 100% right this year. It's one of the things that we will learn a lot from for next year. And hopefully next year, if we've made a few mistakes this year, we'll have them put right.
Okay, John, obviously weather is going to be key on the day as well for various number of reasons. We're 2 weeks out. Have you any kind of an idea what way weather is looking to be on the day?
Youghal glows when the sun is shining, doesn't it? And I suppose, look, our wish would be that it's a lovely day, but it's not too lovely, and that we don't want to bake anybody out there, which can happen at the end of June. So far at the moment, the indications are that the weather is due to settle down during the next week and a half. And if that's the case, we would hope that that would extend into the race. At the very, very least, the weather may just be starting to turn when we hit race day. So we wouldn't rule out a drop of rain at this stage at some part of the day. But by and large, at the moment, the indications we're getting are positive. It's looking like we're going to have a great day. Even a bit of cloud wouldn't do us any harm. But what we don't want is a gale of wind and loads of rain. It ruins the atmosphere. The athletes will get on with it. We have to make certain changes to the swim route if the conditions on the beach are bad. But the athletes will fully accept that as well, because it's all in the interest of safety. At the moment, it doesn't look like we're going to need to take any of those measures, but we have planned for them and they're ready to go if we need them. Fingers crossed is all I can say. And if you have any input at all with the weather gods, use them and make them work, because as they say, all those look so well when the weather's good, and it just really would bring out the town. The town is looking smashing at the moment. I don't think there's a pothole left in the town. There's a building left without having any paint on it. Everything is just coming together. All the ducks are lining up. The only weak link, really, and the only thing giving me heartburn at the moment is the weather. And I think the indications at the moment, it is a bit far out yet, but the early indications are we're going to be good.
Okay, obviously there's 2,600 athletes registered for the event. There's obviously going to be a couple of dropouts because of sickness or injuries or whatever.
Probably more than a couple, to be fair. We're looking at the moment at about 2,300 athletes at the start line. That's the figure that we're expecting at the moment. The window for deferrals, athletes are allowed to defer their slot until next year for that reason. You know, training for an Ironman takes 2 to 3 years, and in the last 6 to 8 months, athletes are training nearly as many hours a week as they're putting in at work. It's a huge ask on anybody to put up with all that training. You know, they could be running 80, 90 kilometres a week in some cases. They could be cycling 200, 300 kilometres a week, and they could be swimming 10 or 12 kilometres a week. And it's a huge ask on the human body, and bodies break and bodies give up and say, no, I'm not able, I'm not ready. And again, people have family things that come up that they didn't expect or they didn't see, and it just means that their plans are a little bit scuppered and they have to defer. We would have a figure at the moment of 2,300, but even after that window closed there about 3 weeks ago, we still have a couple of athletes that will pick up an injury. So somewhere between 2,200 and 2,300 is what we'd expect to see on the start line on the day, and that's a brilliant figure for us. We're delighted with that.
And obviously, in this past week, John, we had the official professional list of around, I think it's more than 40 professional athletes who will be taking part on the day. And among them is a double champion from the triathlon from 2012 and 2016.
It's quite a big field of pros, actually. It's quite a strong field of pros. And first year, new race, they're all going to be out there to get the course record as well, because that's a prize that goes up and it stays up there. We were delighted. We'd been working on it in the background for a few weeks, but we managed to score Alistair Brownlee. For me, that's a very big thing. For anybody who's close to triathlon, that's a huge thing. But I was surprised at how much the public actually were aware of it. I got a number of calls from people who I wouldn't have associated in my mind with knowing a whole lot about triathlons over the last few days, but people have been coming on saying, my God, you got Alistair Brownlee. That's a brilliant achievement. It really is, because for those who don't know anything about triathlon, I think everybody at this stage has seen the incident where Alistair and his brother Johnny, they were racing in Cozumel a couple of years ago, and it was a really, really hot day, and Johnny got his nutrition thing wrong a little bit, shall we say. It just kind of went against him, and as he approached the finish line, he was within about 200 metres of the finish line, his legs gave up and he ended up almost in a heap on the floor. But Alistair, who was coming behind him, actually caught a hold of him, picked him up and brought him and carried him and literally shoved him through the finish line. It's one of those sporting moments, I think, that will go down in history. They're famous for it. They have a children's foundation in the UK that they use to raise money for sick children, and they came over here about a year and a half ago and brought their foundation to Dublin for a weekend. And a lot of the kids from the local club actually would have gone up and met them, and they're great guys. Alistair is a good friend of our race director, John Wallace. They actually train together in south of Spain during certain parts of the year. And we've been working away, we've been stopping away in the background, knocking on the door and asking, and he's finally agreed to come and do it. So it's a big coup for us. And our neighbours across the pond are a bit annoyed with him that he's coming to Ireland to do his first big full distance Ironman event. But he's coming over here. I mean, he's from Leeds. He's no stranger to hilly routes. He's no stranger to a bit of rough weather in the water. So it's a very, very suitable venue for him. I actually would start to look at him as being a favourite for the race.
Okay, big call as well. And obviously, that's the two wins in the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro and London, obviously, as well, John. They were two huge events for him. And
huge
this
wins.
Is his Ironman debut.
Olympic gold medalists here who have now moved up to a new distance. I mean, the Olympic, they would have been racing their 1,500 metres in the swim. They would have been doing 40K on the bike. And they would have been doing a 10K running race. I mean, it's no small achievement, and it's gold medal stuff, but now they've moved up to a whole new ball game with these longer distance races. It's a totally different science. Like, nutrition is really a huge part of it, and at their age, they're at the right age for it, and I think it's probably the right decision to go to this kind of distance at the moment for them. Johnny's been doing it for the last year at middle distance, at half Ironman distances, and he's been having a limited amount of success at it. I think Alistair will probably be the stronger of the two when it comes to these distances. We'll know in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, and obviously, John, as well, the whole event from the professional point of view, that will be broadcast on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook Watch. Ironman have a contract with Facebook for two races in Europe this year. Ironman Cork is one of them, and Ironman Wales is the other one. We're going to be live from about 5:30, 6:15 in the morning
on Facebook. You all and all of East Cork is going to be very, very well covered. There's a huge number of cameras going out there on the swim, on the bike and on the run route, and they will track the pro field mainly all the way around, not when the pros are finished the race, but at stages on the on each of the disciplines. So halfway around the swim, they're going to have the pros beginning to lap the age groupers. So everybody's in with a chance of getting their face on the world stage that day. And all of East Cork, in all its glory, is going to be covered bits all over the world. We're looking at an average of about 5.5 million views on that when it goes live on the day. There's a race on in Staffordshire this weekend in the UK. It's a half-distance Ironman. That will be going on Facebook on Sunday morning if anybody wants to go in and have a look. It'll only be about an hour's coverage, but it'll give you a sample of what to expect here for about 8 hours in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. John, anything else to add before we wrap up?
Just again to reiterate the fact that, look, we do have the hotline, as we call it, if anybody does have a query on parking or closures or whatever and they've an issue that they need to get sorted, 085-111-2031. And Facebook, if you get on there, if you're on there, if somebody belongs to you is on there, get them to go on to IM Cork Local Info. Join that group. It's not a closed secret group. It's a closed group because we don't want the athletes in there. That's where all the local information is. And especially now as we roll up to the event, anything that crops up that maybe we haven't thought of or something that pops up on the day, like, I don't know, maybe there's an incident on the road or there's a road closure that we need to put in that we didn't think of before or whatever. Anything like that, anything that we need to push out there, that's where it's going to go out. So that's the place to be if you need to know stuff.
Okay, look, John, I'm sure we'll be in touch with him before the 23rd of June. Thanks very much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll catch up
together
very soon.
Yeah, if I could just say very quickly, a huge thank you to everybody all around the room. When we did our meetings to engage with people in communities, we've had nothing but open doors and welcoming arms, and Ironman is going to be really, really great for Cork, I can promise you that. They're a very professional organisation. They put on a great show. They put on a brilliant event. It's time now for Cork to see just how big a deal this is. We're looking at about 20,000 spectators, we think. They're just going to come in and blow the town away. They're going to spend all their money here. They're going to have a lovely holiday here. And when they go away, I think the race for 2020 is going to go on sale during the weekend of the race. And I think it's going to be a sellout very, very fast. And it's all down to the welcome that Ironman and the athletes have got so far. And as I say, look, they're going to start arriving in their droves, I suppose, next weekend onwards. And keep saying hi, keep making them feel welcome. They're soaking it up, they're loving it. And Ironman Cork, between you and me, it's becoming known as the friendliest Ironman in the world.
John, thanks a million for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Pat.